The ability to hear starts with the desire and availability to hear. Hello, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Do you desire to hear from God? Are you ready and available to hear from Him? How can we nurture the desire to listen to God? Well, in just a moment, Kenneth tells us more of God's word and work as he brings us part two of He Spoke and It's Done.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be with you again. We've been talking about how God works through His word and the power of His spoken word, not only in creation, but personally in our lives. And we considered the first instance in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, about Mary. And the issue was submissive faith in impossibility. Now let's look at another incident in Luke's Gospel, and this is found in Luke chapter 5. And this is about Peter, and this has to do with obedient faith in improbability. Peter, obedient faith in improbability. Let's get to Luke chapter 5. Where we have the record of what I'd like to often call the first fishing episode that Jesus had with Peter. The second episode is after the resurrection of Jesus at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21. Well, here is Peter's first fishing episode, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, that's about Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So first note the scene that the multitudes, the crowds were pressing about him. They were hungry to hear the word of God. They were eager to listen to what he had to say to them. Verse 3, then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, that's Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to Jesus, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Let's just stop there for a while and focus on this verse in the answer of Simon Peter to the specific instructions of Jesus. In Luke 5:5, Simon Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Let's just see what's happening here. Peter and his fellow fishermen were already done for the day, or rather for the night. They've had a really bad night of futile fishing. We know that because that's what Peter said in verse 5, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I don't think it was a particularly urgent or desperate day, just one of those bad fishing days or no-catch days. They were faced with a disappointing and improbable situation. But life goes on, they were washing their nets, going about the day's chores, and hoping for a better catch tonight. But this was the improbability. They were a little surprised when Jesus turned around and told him after he had stopped teaching. In verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. This is like saying the obvious or the ludicrous, especially if they have tried all night without any success. And this is the day. We don't fish during the day. If we don't catch them at night, how much less during the day? So their thinking was, we've been there and done that. We've done it all before. And they have tried all they knew how, but without any result on this occasion. And just when they were getting on with the day and with life, Jesus told them almost matter-of-factly, as if it was by the way, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. It wasn't a suggestion. It was an instruction with quiet authority. It's almost as if he was saying, if you have listened to me teach with authority, you may also want to listen to my authoritative instructions about something which you think you are expert in. This is your job and livelihood. You do it day after day. But there was a ring of authority and truth about it. in just the same way as they had heard him teach the crowds from their borrowed boats. Now notice that Jesus spoke this word personally to Peter, and he carried it out himself, without first trying to convince his other fellow fishermen. This is what I call obedient faith in the face of the improbable. He obeyed at once, and he obeyed personally, without consulting or reasoning with others. It was God's word to him, and he carried it out. Is that being naive? No, it's being simple and childlike in faith. It's being instant in obedience. The disposition of Simon Peter was this in verse 5. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. In other words, however ridiculous it may seem, but because you have spoken your word to me, I will do as you have said. This is exactly like what Mary said, which we considered yesterday. Let it be to me according to your word. That's what Mary said. And this is exactly the same as what Peter said. According to your word, I'll do it. If you said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, according to your word, I will let down the net. There are no ifs or buts, just quiet, instant, simple, obedient faith. It's exercised in the face of improbability because of all the familiar, tried and tested ways which have been proven unworkable the night before. This just looks like trying to give it another go, but what looks likely to be yet another vain attempt. There are two things that Peter could have done. He could have just ignored what the Lord had said as an unlikely suggestion, or he could take Jesus at his word, saying to himself, this is different because the person who is saying it is different. Though we may have tried it the night before, in the same place, in the same way, but this is a different time, and most important, it's a different person. It's not anyone else's suggestion. It's the Lord himself who is saying this. And so that's what he did. And what's the outcome? Let's read on from Luke chapter 5, verse 6. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. We find that an immediate obedience gave rise to an immediate result. And it was a result that far exceeded anyone's expectations. And that's always the way God works. It's above all that we can ask or think or imagine. And that is precisely what distinguishes it from man's work. But we see something else happening in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. What do we see happening here? The Lord not only performed what Peter could not do in getting a good catch on that day, but it did something more. It revealed what Peter was on the inside, that he was a sinful man. What he saw was more than the surprising and the superabundant catch of fish. He saw beyond the outer demonstration of the Lord's power at work to the inner conviction of his own sinfulness. He had just witnessed the working of the Lord according to his word, and that produced a great despair. When the best of all his self-effort came up vastly short against the power of God at work in the presence of Jesus. That's what the Word of God does every time. It's not to impress people, but to convict them of their own sinfulness and of God's greatness. And so we find that Simon Peter did not discover on that day the secret of successful fishing, but really of doing God's work according to His Word. So he didn't go on to start a fishing franchise or something like that. He didn't even start a fisherman's fellowship. But he left all to follow Christ, as we have read at the end in verse 11. You can say that this was Peter's call, and all it took was just one simple word of instruction that had to do with what he thought was his life calling and vocation to be a fisherman on an especially bad day. Don't think that the call of God necessarily comes in a great, exalted, and inspired fashion. It can come through very ordinary circumstances on very ordinary days. But that's all it takes. Just one precise, powerful word shot like an arrow that hits right home to the heart. The third example and instance in which the Lord Jesus spoke a specific word from Luke's Gospel is taken from chapter 7, where we read about the story of the centurion. And this is about expectant faith in an emergency. The centurion, about expectant faith in emergency. Let me read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Now when he, that's Jesus, concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. So again, the context is in the aftermath of his authoritative teaching. It's about Jesus speaking and people hearing. Verse 2, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. What the centurion faced here was a life or death situation of his sick servant. And there was an urgent plea for help in an emergency with the life of his servant hanging in the balance. When we are faced with such an exigency or emergency, it's a good thing to turn immediately to the Lord, as this centurion did, even though he was not a Jew. And that is why Jesus commended him for his faith, having not found such great faith, not even in Israel. A believer in Christ will instinctively turn to him for help at a time of need. That is his immediate and instinctive response. Just like any child would instinctively and immediately turn to the mother or father for help. Now let's watch more closely what exactly happened there. While those who were sent by the centurion tried to plead to Jesus on behalf of the centurion according to his worthiness, his authority, his status, and what he had done. By contrast, the centurion himself considered himself unworthy. So when word got to him that Jesus was on his way, he sent out another delegation to tell Jesus not to bother to have to come all the way, but if he could just speak the word of power, the word of healing from where he was, that would be good enough. It would do the job. It would make no difference if he were here physically and personally, or if his word was sent from where he was, or even from heaven. And that's the verse that I want to focus on that captures this point about expectant faith in an emergency. In Luke 7, verse 7, therefore I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, and here it is, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Only say the word and it shall be done. As we have started out by considering Psalm 33 verse 9. He spoke and it was done. By sending a second delegation to tell Jesus not to bother about coming, after he had sent the first delegation to tell him to please come urgently, the centurion was not being impudent or rude or impatient. He wasn't looking for a shortcut in a contingency. But rather he understood from his own position and experience the principle of the word of authority. He understood the power of command. Where he was coming from was the position of servanthood, somebody who is under authority, a position of humility and unworthiness. That's where he's coming from. I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. And then he took pains to explain from his own experience. I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And what I say gets carried out. If I say go, it happens. If I say come, it happens. If I say do this, it's done. And if that happens to me as a man who has earthly authority, how much more with the Son of God who has divine authority from heaven? He understood that the word of the one who spoke with authority will be done. In Matthew's account of the same incident in Matthew chapter 8 verse 8, it is phrased in an even more direct way. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. That's all it needs, just one word from the Lord. So Lord, only speak the word, and it shall be done according to your word, because your word is attended by your name and power. Notice the Lord's commendation of the centurion was that this is great faith. It's not so much the greatness of the faith itself. All that is required is faith like a mustard seed, just a little faith, but taking hold of the great power of God's word. Great faith is faith in a great God and the great power of His word to us who believe. And so here, as in the previous examples that we have considered, the focus is on the Lord's word that has been spoken, rather than on the urgent need of the situation. So those are the three examples in the Gospel of Luke regarding the Lord's work and our response to it. First, in Luke chapter 1, Mary, submissive faith in impossibility. Second, in Luke chapter 5, Peter, obedient faith in improbability. And third, in Luke chapter 7, the centurion, expectant faith in emergency. I'd like to end by going back to the Old Testament, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we read about young Samuel's first encounter as a boy of listening to the Lord speak to him. And you know, afterwards, he became one of the greatest prophets in Israel. The ability to speak God's word for him begins with the capacity to listen to God's word spoken to me. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now Samuel grew up in a time when there was no open vision or widespread revelation from God through his prophets, and therefore it is said that the word of the Lord was rare or it was precious." I find it such a great irony to have the abundant availability of the word of God today in many places, only to be met by apathy and a lack of hunger for hearing the word of God. And by the same token, in places and during times when the word of God is rare, like it says here, or difficult to obtain because of persecution or a repressive regime, then the word of God becomes precious. There is a great hunger for hearing the word of God. Back to our story in 1 Samuel 3, we find that at first the young Samuel was not attuned to listening to the voice of God, for it was not yet revealed to him, as we read in verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." But for those who know the Lord, who have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus, this is the great privilege. The word of the Lord is revealed to you through the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Now in verse 9 and verse 10, we see how the young Samuel was taught how to listen to God speak to him. In verse 9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Verse 10, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. And then the Lord said to Samuel." The ability to hear starts with the desire to hear. So he asked the Lord to speak to him as he was ready to hear. And therefore the Lord spoke. To cultivate the ability to listen, we must first have the availability to listen. So nurture this desire to listen to God through His Word in the Bible. Be ready to hear and to obey and do as He says. And so shall God's work be done in our lives. Let's finish these reflections and meditations from Psalms as we have begun. And this time, it's a verse from Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those who proclaimed it. And may God give us His word today, and may we receive it with faith, that we may in turn send it forth and witness His wonderful works performed. May the word of God be incarnate in us, that is, be embodied in human form, because it can only be proclaimed with power by those who have proven it in their lives. He spoke, and it was done. And may you continue to be refreshed by the Lord's presence and to be reached by this powerful word.
Will you obey God even when the situation seems improbable? What is it that you've been toiling with for such a long, long time? So long, in fact, that it will require obedient faith when you hear God speak to you. Thank you for that word, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again next time for another reflection from God's Word. Just before I go today, I'd like to let you know how you can be in contact with us. You can send us a text message, 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915714. You can also visit us on our Facebook page to get the latest updates and also to leave your own views right on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to any of our programs right online. And Times of Refreshing has its own iPhone app that you can download so that you can directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.